You're the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari, Season 1, Episode 11. Hi, I'm Randy Cantrell. Welcome to the Year of the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari. This podcast is based on a simple truth. Who you surround yourself with matters. Author and keynote speaker Leo Battari will interview thought leaders from all walks of life who will share how they leverage peer advantage and show you how engaging your peers more purposefully can hold the key to greater success in business and in life. Today's guest is Leon Shapiro. Leon is the co-author of The Power of Peers, How the Company You Keep Drives Leadership, Growth, and Success, and a director at the Advisory Board Company, a global research, technology, and consulting firm that partners with more than 200,000 leaders in 4,100 organizations across healthcare and higher education. He also is the former CEO of Vistage Worldwide, an organization that assembles and facilitates peer advisory groups for CEOs and business leaders in the U.S. and around the world.
Leon Shapiro, welcome to the show. So great to have you. It's been a while, actually, since we saw each other in person. We're in the same city.
That's right. It has, Leo. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to connect with you by video again.
Well, I think it's just so great that you could join us now, because obviously it's no accident that we selected today as the time where we could sit and talk, because believe it or not, as we discussed before this today, it's been 1 year since the book came out, which I don't know about you, but I find that just hard to imagine when you consider our working on the book. The anticipation of your mirror is just hard to imagine.
Yeah, that's right. It is hard. And you think we spent about 18 months preparing and working on it, and a year has gone by already, but it has been an awesome year.
Well, I think it really has. And I know for me, it's been a real learning experience. I'd love to hear a little bit about, people you've run into, people you've talked to, stories they're sharing, anything that comes to mind that that you want to talk a little bit about when it comes to, the people's response to The Power of Peers.
Yeah, so it's been a super interesting year, and the interest in the concept has just continued to grow and grow. I had lunch with a CEO of an organization that I was on the board of many, many years ago, and have not connected with him in 3 or 4 years, and why it was so fascinating and interesting, and what it would bring to him. And I just sort of shared my story and my experience as a CEO and how I got to join a peer group. And I could just tell on the other side, the questions being formulated in his mind, like, how do I get some of that? And so it resonates, and it resonates quickly. And I've found during those conversations that the concept, people grab onto it very, very quickly.
So, obviously you're a member of a group. And so how is the, so here you're explaining this concept to someone and they're kind of getting it, right? But until you're in it, it's a little hard to communicate. So, I mean, share some of your own experience with what you thought going in versus what the experience was.
Once I said to the CEO at lunch last week, same thing with me. I had resisted when I was CEO of Vistage. I had resisted joining a group myself. I felt that, A, I wanted to be CEO for a while, and B, I was surrounded by peers and people who would guide and advise me. And C, it seemed like the commitment of time was a pretty large, substantial piece of your time. And it wasn't until I realized that everyone I had surrounded myself with had a vested interest in the discussions we were having, and it was very hard for them to be purely objective. And the 12 CEOs' points of view of people who sat in the same seat as I did, that I really recognized and realized how incredibly powerful it could be. And as I said during this lunch meeting, I asked one or two questions about some of them. And we kind of went through, and I said, each of those people that you're speaking with has some view already, or has a relationship with you, or will ultimately live with the outcome of the conversation. And, wouldn't it be great to sit with people who knew what it felt like to be in your seat and get their perspective and their point of view? And I think when you use your own example and you're sitting with another CEO, for me at least, it resonates very quickly. And people can just see the value of it. And I said to him, you don't need to go it alone. You really don't. And it is so running and leading a business without having this.
I agree. And that doesn't mean that people are trying to operate in their own self-interest in an overt kind of way. I think that they are in their minds trying to give you the best advice for the organization, but they also tend to look at it from, like in my case, all right, we work together. I would come at things from a marketing communications lens. Someone else would come at it through finance. Someone else walks through the HR or legal door. And it's so interesting that, you know, we just, you know, can't really empathize with what it's like to sit in that seat and make decisions for the entire organization. So I think also there's an aspect of empathy there that is just something that can't be replicated unless you're talking to other CEOs that know what that feels like.
I think out of the conversations that I've had with other CEOs, you can just see the way that they all of a sudden realize that the conversation they're having with you resonates and you can empathize with what they're going through. And they begin to tell you stuff in a nomenclature and language using words they typically wouldn't use. You know, words you might use with your board that could be couched in investor protection or not wanting to show your board that perhaps you didn't have all the answers. And the minute you give people that opportunity and that open window for them to be able to talk about things they're going through, it's almost like this great weight just gets lifted off their shoulder and they begin to open up and talk about it. I think therein lies the power of this, because it's again and again, one of the things I found is it's a completely natural thing and phenomenon for people. And the fact that, as you and I have talked about and talked in the book, have introduced it in a more formal way into the business world just makes all the sense in the world, because we're not asking anyone to do anything that isn't natural to what they've done their whole lives. And I think therein lies a lot of the power.
Yeah. And I do think that, you know, one of the things that we talked a lot about in the book as well, and the reason we did was because, you know, you can tell people, like when you had lunch with that CEO, you can have that conversation with that person all day long and talk about how this environment of safety and confidentiality and valuable interaction and all these kinds of things exist. But until you really crawl inside how you make that possible, it just, you know, it's difficult, I think, for people to grasp what that's all about. So I hope in some respects, as people read the book, if they're wondering, how is this thing that I enjoy nowhere else in my life somehow made possible in these groups? So I guess for you, you know, as a member, what were some of the, so I think you brought up, I think it makes perfect sense, right? Here you're working for Vistage. Everybody's in this business. You're surrounded by all these people. You're trying to, you know, get the company, you know, moving. But yet, once you joined a group, what were some of the surprises or some of the things that really come to mind for you once you were in a group for a while and what that felt like?
Yep. And it didn't take very long, Leo. The reality was... very early on, the thing that struck me the most was an issue that I was dealing with, which, without getting into the specifics, I brought to the group and presented it, and I had a set of business plans and financial plans to go with it. And, you know, I knew what I was coming to look for help with. And after I went through it and after the group sort of asked me some clarifying questions and trying to understand what the issue was, it became abundantly clear to everyone in the room, I was the last person.
Yeah, sure.
That the reality was it had nothing to do with my business plan and the new financials, but it was really vested in a team and personnel issue. And that really struck me as something profound, because it brought to the forefront the fact that we don't often know the exact issue we're dealing with. We aren't alone as CEOs getting to the root cause of what's driving something. And so in any other interaction, I would have gotten advice and I would have gone about tweaking the financial plans and the organizational plans. And, you know, I would have done stuff that seemingly would have addressed the issue, but the underlying root cause of what was going on would have band-aids on in different ways. And so that ability, to your point, you've got 12 or 15 different perspectives, people with broad experiences and a diversity of experience that they bring to the table, and to have them listen and all of a sudden say, well, I need this financial plan. And some of those questions, the first time I got them, I almost said in my head, wow, that's pretty basic. And that's a little insulting to ask me such a basic question. Doesn't he or she know this already?
Yeah.
And that ability to ask just those very, intimately.
Yeah.
And so they're just asking pretty good, straightforward questions. Really understanding what was the driving issue and being able to tackle that with the support of my group and talk about that real issue was all of the difference in the world. It was very powerful and resonated. And, I think it's one of the big things that is in the power of peers.
You know, one of the things that I see all the time, particularly with new groups, is that when they are, as you know, obviously the process is kind of referred to as issue processing or opportunity processing. And they tend to, so a member brings a question to a group, and the people ask questions believing that they're asking questions that are simply going to give them more information to get to the answer. And so once people start formulating, as CEOs will do, got it, right? They've already come to the answer and the conversation's going. Once they start to get in touch with this idea that they're not asking questions to get to the answer, they're asking questions to find out if you're asking the right question first, buddy, because to your point, you're going to go back with that answer to the wrong question and wonder why 6 months later, this isn't all working out for you as you had hoped.
Yeah. So no, that is so true. In fact, if you really think about it, as business leaders and as CEOs, you always have an answer or a hypothesis or a gut feel or an instinct. And so, you naturally are going to other people and saying, hey, look, here's the issue and here's what I'm going to do about it. And to your point, this is not so much about you bringing questions and having them answered, but rather it's you bringing forth your hypothesis or your answers and having them be questioned, because very often the way you got to those answers is really warranted, and challenging those answers and challenging your assumptions is a big component of the power of a group.
You know, it is a great opportunity to have people pressure test your ideas. And I know many of the people we talked to, whether they were members or leaders of groups, you know, talked about the fact that it's also not just about coming to a better decision. The group also gives you the courage to act. That once you've gone through that process, right, of pressure testing, now it gives you, I would imagine, a great deal more confidence when you leave that meeting that what you're doing, that answer that you've now put to the test with all those questions may in fact be exactly what you need to be doing.
Yeah, that's right. And just to take that a step further, and I'll go back to an example of my own group. One of the members had pulled together a strategic plan, was working with his management team for several months and was going to present it to the board. And at the suggestion of the group chair, he brought it to the group meeting and presented it to us as a dry run. Now, take into account that none of us had seen it before. It was all brand new to us, as would have been the case with his board. And he went through this dry run. It was only a 30-minute presentation. And the feedback that he got from the 15 of us sitting around who hadn't heard it before really had him change a lot, not in the essence of what the strategy was or what he was suggesting, but in the way that it was communicated and presented. And he said it was one of the best board presentations he'd ever had. So that opportunity to go through a dry run and get feedback and then take that and use it in your presentation empowered him in a very meaningful way. And he came back and said his board really felt it was the most succinct.
Yeah. You know, one of the things too, as I was thinking about this, I wouldn't mind stepping back for a moment for our listeners, many of whom, you know, of course, there are all kinds of peer groups out there for CEOs and business leaders and all. You happen to be, have been a member of a Vistage group. And I think it would be helpful for the audience to talk about what a Vistage group is. In fact, you can really, I think, paint a picture with your group. How many members, you know, what types of companies did they represent? What did that look like? If you could paint a picture of what a Vistage CEO group looks like, I think that will help people get a sense of why you found so much value from meeting with these peers every month.
Yep, I'm happy to do that. And you know, the reality is, much of this applies to any peer group that you join. The principles are fundamentally the same.
Right.
And so just to take a step back, essentially at the essence, it is a group of, let's say, 12 to 16 business leaders on a scheduled basis. I happen to be in a group that met 10 times a year. And really sit in a room. And in addition to being educated and helped to be informed through presentation speakers and industry experts, spending a half a day, 3 hours or so, being able to help each other in terms of talking about the issues that people are having or evaluating the opportunities or trying to find areas of expertise to bring through the diverse group. And it's in that diversity who represent different industries, different size companies, different stages of growth, different issues that they have together in a group with a facilitator or a chair, as we refer to our group leader. The power that brings to the front is just incredible. And so having this consistent place to go to be able to bounce ideas off of and talk about and get input from 12 to 15 other CEOs, for me was incredibly powerful. And I think an incredible investment of time.
So were you surprised at all by this idea? And granted, I know that you intellectually, you knew it going in. But when you were a member of the group, you know, oftentimes people are thinking, when they look at a diverse group of CEOs, they're thinking, why would I join a group of other CEOs, none of whom know anything about my specific business or industry, right? I mean, what possible value could I get from that? And so I'd like you to speak to that a little bit about what type of value do you get from people who are totally outside your company and your industry in that regard?
Yeah, and look, I think the real essence of this is CEOs naturally think in terms of their own space or their own industry or their own vertical. And so your mind is preoccupied with the space that you operate within. If you're in manufacturing, you know, it's in labor and it's in technology and automation and robotics and whatever else it might be. And you're mired in that. But the reality is, most of the people that you are interacting with are in that industry and in that space. So you're getting plenty of industry expertise already. You might belong to an industry association. You might go to an industry conference once a year. You keep up through publications. So all of that expertise exists. The power of a group of peers, diverse group of peers, is really in leadership, about management, about how to issues that every CEO has to deal with regardless of the industry they're in. It could be more technical, like financial and refinancing or selling or taking out loans. It could be new real estate. It could be hiring practices. But it also could be issues like, you know, my team just isn't working together very well. I'm having issues with my board of directors. We can't get on the same page. You know, there's some trust issues or things like that, things that are just really important to the management and leadership of an organization. And that I found to be incredibly valuable. I found the industry knowledge a lot easier to come by, but the general knowledge of how businesses run and having people who ran different businesses of different age groups, younger members who perhaps were more in touch with social media and ways to use that and those views.
Point when it comes to the common challenges, the shared challenges that everyone has. The other thing, as you know, we heard a lot from people was because you're talking with people from different industries, there are practices that are commonplace in their industry that could work for my company. And I think, you know, we saw, I mean, how many people, right, did we talk to who shared a story like that, where they picked away a practice from a completely different industry, worked it into their own, not only changed the way they did business, but even changed the way their competitors did it as well, because they followed.
That's exactly right. That power of diversity of experience, coming at it from different angles. And so somebody who is in retail is getting perspectives from people that are in banking or people that are in, you know, manufacturing, and you think how that are just completely outside of your industry and therefore are, I'm not even going to talk about that because that everyone knows.
And yeah, just, it's like those dumb questions that you mentioned before, right? Yes. They won't ask those questions, and yet they're important questions sometimes.
That's exactly right. And that just spurs a conversation. And I think, you know, we've got some examples of this in the book of people who just, you know, brought a problem of manufacturing downtime and had people recommend. Just those things alone that have rocketed businesses to success because they've been able to get that perspective from the outside that they otherwise wouldn't have gotten.
So, you know, one of the things, and as you know, you see, you know, in business and education for that matter, and see what it's done, how effective they are and how it's changed their life. And then you look at the few people in the scheme of things that take advantage of that resource. I mean, it's really astounding. I don't know if you know, as you've talked to people throughout this year, whatever, have any thoughts about why is it that peer groups aren't much more commonly used by CEOs and business leaders than they are?
Yep. You know, it's interesting. I think the answer to the question is just the knowledge of the you articulate what this is and how it's part of what they do naturally, it just becomes something that is much easier to work with. And the having a personal coach or a mentor or attending a specific leadership conference or reading leadership books, we do that all the time. The difference there is it's a point in time knowledge, and it's lacking three key ingredients that I think differentiates those kinds of activities from the power of peers. And the first ingredient is just the consistency and repetition of the activities. So if I, you know, read a bit about the concept at the time, and, you know, I'll talk to a few other people, and that may last days, weeks, even months. And you know, usually a year or so later, it will have, you know, found its way out of my workflow, let's say. The second is this whole issue of accountability. When you are consistently meeting with a group of your peers and you're working on something, you feel a great deal of self-accountability to your fellow peers for updating them and talking about what has happened and how it has happened and how you're doing and what you've done about something. And that accountability is incredibly powerful. And, you know, for me, it's your self-accountability to the rest of the group that is powerful. It's not like anyone in the group is holding a hammer over your head and saying, hey, Leon, you said you'd do A and you haven't. That doesn't need to happen. When you've asked 12 to 15 people to invest an hour of their time working through your issue with them and you go away saying, you know what, out of these 10 things you've talked about, I'm going to focus on these two. You feel accountable for that. So it also isn't something where if you read a book, you hear about a great idea, you try to implement it, and, you know, it's not likely to work out perfectly the first time. And so where do you then go to tweak it and to adjust it and to update it? And that's the third part of a peer group, which is the ongoing change. I mean, business is changing today at light speed. And while some of the fundamental underlying principles may stay the same, the way you put them into your workflow and the way you implement them is very different. And for me to stay fresh on that stuff and to be able to go back and say, you know, I don't know why, that we talked about this concept 2 years ago and it seemingly isn't working anymore. And over again, what turns out is it's not the underlying principles of making one or two small tweaks or getting the advantage of someone else in the group being able to see that and say, hey, Leon, you know, nothing at all has changed except, you know, you've got two new members who aren't on board yet and don't understand the concept. Spend some time with
them. You know, this concept that you brought up about self-accountability, though, is so important about their culture, yet they're a part of it, right? Yeah. So they because I've been doing a lot of workshops over the past year now, you know, with various CEO and key executive groups. And we talk about culture of accountability and how really important it is. And yet sometimes members who will say, well, here's how the leader can help our group be more accountable. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Now that's the opposite of what, so your idea of self-accountability should be, look, if I bring an issue to a group and I ask the group and get 45 minutes of their time, I should be volunteering that. I should be, you know, basically thanking the group and letting them know, hey, you invested a lot of time in me last week. Let me tell you how that's going. The second line of defense, let's say if I either didn't do anything and I want to slide by, or if, you know, I just forget or something of that nature, then someone in the group will ask the question, hey, by the way, Leon, how did that go for you last month? In the unlikely event that that doesn't happen, this is where I think this chair, this leader has to serve not as the enforcer of the culture of accountability, but just kind of as a backstop, right? You know, that it's ultimately the member's responsibility first, then it's up to the team. And then as a last resort, the chair might say, hey, wait a second, didn't we process an issue? You didn't bring it up. None of you asked about it. So let's make sure we cover it. And I think when you think about how relevant that is to teams as well, we may not be leading the team, but we're a member of it. And we are accountable for our own behavior and the world that we create. And I just felt like, you know, that's among the powerful lessons that I think kind of come from participating in a peer group that you can actually take back into your organization.
Yeah. And in fact, I think what I learned was it's accountability, but what that really leads to is engagement. Mm-hmm. And when people are engaged, and you talked about employees, and I absolutely agree with you on this, Leo, you know, people start talking that we could do with our leader to make a change, not here's what the leader can do for me. It's that self-accountability, and that comes from engagement, and that is in the group does two things. One is we all know that by participating and by teaching, you learn a lot. I mean, for me, when I'm going over things and talking to people and how this works and that works, I'm teaching myself as much as I'm learning my own stuff, as much as I'm teaching someone else. And so in the group, when you're listening to other issues being processed and opportunities and ideas from other CEOs and you're participating, you're engaged in that, very often you're picking up incredible age. And so it's engagement with accountability, those two things together, I think are a very strong influencing factor, at least for me they were.
Yeah, and obviously it's really relevant everywhere. In fact, I'd love it if you could take a couple of minutes and talk about your work now with the advisory board as a board member. Tell us a little bit about that work and how you see the power of peers manifesting there.
Yes, yeah, so you know, it's interesting when we released the book a few months afterwards, the folks at the advisory board asked me to come in and run a leadership workshop for about 25 of their leading employee organization. So none of them were CEOs. They were all, though, aspiring leaders within the organization. And I've done a couple of these workshops, as I know you have. I find them incredibly invigorating. Mm-hmm. And what really is exciting about it is the way in which this group immediately grasped the concept and the questions that they immediately went to, which is, well, how do we make this work as employees, as a team of leaders within an organization? What are the things that we can do to gain something? They want to know how to get at them. And so what I found is that the work translates and transcends throughout the organization. And for this group, it was hearing about how they can leverage their relationships both within the company, because the reality is many of them were from different departments and didn't know much about what the other person did at all. And so just getting them together, and subsequently they've gotten together again and again, was of huge benefit. But for many of them as well, it was developing and nurturing those relationships outside the organization and making sure that they were getting that perspective and benefit as well. And so from that perspective, I think what I have seen is that this work translates, and it translates all throughout the organization in a very, very strong way. And then if I look just around, even at the board level and the diversity of representation, and you know, you think of a board being similarly as a group of peers that come from, any good board is made up of people from multiple disciplines, diversity of view, thought, experience, etc. And highly functional boards just naturally use many of the concepts that we talk about in this book. Not only do they use them within the setting of a board meeting, but typically as I've spoken to my fellow board members, many of them use them throughout their own careers and in their own businesses that they run. And it's used in a slightly different way. And perhaps it's not formal, but you know, everyone on my board has read the book, and it resonates with them, and they can relate to it and really support this. And we've supported it through the executive team at the advisory board company as well.
So, Leon, it's just a final question. Business leader should consider joining a, would that be?
So I'm going to give an answer that it is, maybe it's framed in the negative and doesn't mean to be. And for me, it's so natural to drive home without putting my seatbelt on. I just wouldn't think of it. It's second nature. I would never think of running a company today without taking advantage of having a, and so, you know, the just the knowledge and fact that I have somewhere to turn that is a safe place, that is a group of people who know what it's like to sit in my seat, to share that experience, a place where I can articulate issues and opportunities in a language that is my own language with my own words, without any thought about whether that's a valuable thing that you can do as a leader of an organization. There is no need to go it alone. There is absolutely no lead without a group of peers.
Well, Leon, you know, we could, as you know, probably talk about the subject forever. We could probably write a book about it, you know. You know, and I will. I'll make a shameless plug for the book, because it is, you know, it's been out for a year now. But I think one of the things that was really important to us was to make sure that we wrote it in a way where the advice in it was timeless. And that, so if you haven't looked at The Power of Peers, How the Company You Keep Drives Leadership Growth and Success, grab a copy. If you have read it and you enjoyed it, then leave us a review on Amazon. We always appreciate that. But look, Leon, it was just such a pleasure to have you on the show. I really appreciate the time you took today. And I know our guests are really going to get a great deal of value from hearing your perspective on all this. So thank you.
Thank you, Leo. It's great to have this conversation. You've done amazing work over the course of the last year, and you continue to do work around this concept. And we both know how powerful it is, but you're out there every day evangelizing it, talking about it. And I know you've made a huge difference in many people's lives. So it's been an absolute pleasure to work with you on this.
Well, you as well. So thank you so much. And we will talk soon, I'm sure. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Leo.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about Peer Advantage, to submit questions to Leo and our guest, and to subscribe to the Year of the Peer podcast, please visit us at leobottari.com. That's LeoBottari.com. This podcast is produced by me, Randy Cantrell. Hosted, of course, by Leo Bottari. Music provided by Kevin McLeod, Vibe Ace. Licensed under Creative Commons.